Okay, you ready, Logan? You ready?
He's going to read the book, but yeah.
Brushing up.
Hi, my name's Peter Savick. I work with a band called The Mix out of Germany. We're a band that contain people with and without handicaps. We just did a tour last year, and we worked pretty close with Comic Pop Library. They really helped us, did a lot of advertising for us before we started our tour, and we've just did a great interview together, and it was fantastic. Thank you. Listen to Comic Pop Library. Great stuff. I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Poppy Manga Style, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Lynn Edward
and Logan.
And in today's episode, we're going to be looking at the manga Prophecy, the first volume by Tetsuya Susui. The copyright in Japan was 2012. For the U.S., it was 2014. And in the North American market, it is published by Vertical Comics. So if you're interested in that, you can probably hit their website, and you can probably order it from your jobber if you're interested in it. Hastings, Barnes & Noble, whoever might have it. But the prophecy. A newspaper-masked vigilante who broadcasts his acts of vengeance before committing them. A newly formed police division tackling the new frontier of internet-based crime. As the sun rises on the era of information, can a group of people who found themselves at the bottom of the food chain rattle society through the web and avenge a fallen friend? Wow. That's a short little blurb, isn't it? Did I read that last sentence right?
I think so.
Okay.
That is what happens. It's an interesting read.
Pretty much it gives you what's there. It's about the internet society. Basically the social media vigilante.
Yeah, it's a concept that I think is pretty new. And the whole idea is that this guy, as the story unfolds, he commits these acts. They're pretty terroristic. I mean, they're not. Yeah. They're all personal. They're not directed at society, but at individuals. But they are very scary and, you know, violent. And the cops are, you know, trying to track him down through cyber crimes and through the internet. And the problem is this perp is extremely internet savvy. So they keep and what ends up happening is they keep running up on where he used to be and what used to be going on. Now, as you go through the story, it unfolds by the end of this first thing that you learned a lot more about why, you know, this guy is so good and what's going on with him. And it's an interesting story. Like, it's one of those where, for me, that, like, you know, he's definitely the bad guy, but then in a way he's the good guy. So it's one of those that it's really hard to identify the villain and who is the actual hero and protagonist of the comic.
We comment on that is because his crimes are committed against people that have either belittled other people in the workforce, shamed them somehow, got them fired somehow. So he's actually trying to stick up for the little man that's being picked upon.
It's very Robin Hood-ish. Yeah. He's a bad guy to the cops, yeah, obviously, and to society at large in a way. But then a lot of people appreciate what he's doing. A lot of times, you know, they wouldn't know. But these people have all the people that are victimized in this comic are people that they themselves have done very bad things. It's very, retribution oriented more so.
Threefold
than,
thing.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, anyways.
Threefold?
Yeah.
Explain.
Yeah, please, because
whatever
you lost
you
me.
Do, threefold returns to you.
Okay,
I don't
so
what it's from, but it's from some magic type deal.
I understand what you're saying. Their punishment is worse than what they did.
Yeah,
but
it still came from something.
Yeah, and I think
only
that
only threefold, not 20.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that, and it does. Like the crimes that they're accusing these people of, for me, for an American. You know, I'm like, this is a crime. You know, like, you got fired from that shitty job. Good for you, man. That guy did you a favor. But in Japan, I realize their culture is very different. And
they might not be able to get another job.
Well, not only that, it's a huge shame. And, like, their honor comes into play if they're fired. And, you know, and so the a lot of times these people are ruiners of other people's lives and in their culture in a way that can't be fixed. So, you know, in a way their crime is worse than the way I'm imagining it. I'm seeing it as an American. I'm seeing, you know, well, that is that, yeah. Did they really do anything wrong? You know, but then, and then when you look at their society and their culture, then that it would be something that would be, you know, and the one guy true. That there is one guy that he gets fired. And his boss is just a prick. He doesn't do anything wrong, but his boss is just running him down constantly because he's a jerk. And, you know, and they beat that crap out of that guy with a baseball bat. So, true. You know what I mean? Like, he got his comeuppance. He
didn't
lived.
Die, if I remember. Yeah.
He so, lived. So
some of these are very good for the vigilante side.
Yeah,
some
I'm not necessarily saying that they're bad people. But they're doing bad things for a good cause, mm-hmm. whatever that is.
One of the things that we've been talking about the police unit, they're called the Metropolitan Police Department Anti-Cyber Crimes Division. Say that fast. We all get tongue-tied.
One time.
Fast.
Even one time.
It's led by a detective, Erica Yoshino, and she's a no-nonsense lady. Scary and tough. I'd say probably in her 30s. Then she has a couple of younger detectives. One is Daiki Okamoto, and the other one is Manabu Ichikawa. I believe that's how they are pronounced. But they kind of lose my interest a little bit when they're with the police unit because it is so stiff and straight-laced where they're not talking like a normal people would talk back and forth. They're trying to spill in all of these definitions and what the internet's about and what technology is going on, and that makes it really stilted with that part of the story. When you go to the vigilante,
it's much more interesting.
Flowing.
Yeah,
but with the detectives, it's a little
stilted. It is dry, and I think that he did that to, you know, that the writer did that all that information in it, because it is, I could see like walking into a room, you know, of one of these cybercrime divisions, you know, even here in the States, and the people, especially with a no-nonsense ballbuster leader like that, you know, no pictures on the walls, no clowning around, no talking at the water cooler, you know, it's very serious work to them, and I believe probably something that is a huge concern in and I mean maybe in every right. country, but especially in like Japan where you know, the cyber everything is so much a part of their lives and their livelihoods.
True.
So much is about their technology. So,
and apparently 50 likes over the dislikes when it's in the 2600s is a very big deal.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's, you know, we have internet stars now because of the likes and dislikes. You know, that's... It's
true. I wasn't even talking about that. That's the 68,000 thing.
Right.
I'm talking about the... It's very bad because the likes are outnumbering the dislikes, 50-ish likes over mm-hmm. when they're in the 2600s.
I understand what you're saying. There's
that's
more likes than
called, just... It's going to be on their site for a day-ish, and then it's going to be back on whichever it's going to be on.
Okay.
That's not a very good lead for the likes.
well, for this type of performance piece, you would see, I mean, if something like that was put on the internet for realsies, there would be a lot of dislikes, yeah. and it would be a very close race. The thing is that the fact that there are more likes than dislikes, whether that what they're doing is just or whatever, you know, whether we can identify with the perpetrators or not, the fact that more people like it than don't like it show what society really thinks about these kinds of crimes as opposed to the causes of these kinds, because they always out that they it before they do it they 27 out
to 25 then.
Right, they always out the people that they're going to beat up or
is a bit.
Hold on, Logan, you're talking over.
Sorry,
go ahead.
Well, don't they? Whenever like all there's seven different videos in the book,
I believe so.
In the first segment, and in that segment, they out in like six out of seven, they out the person to say what they basically what they did while they're right. Why they're being punished. So it isn't like they're just like, oh yeah, we're just gonna show a snuff video of us beating the crap out of this guy.
Right, they explain why.
Yeah, it's definitely like they're transparent about what's going on.
Right. Mm-hmm. What were you going to comment on, Logan? Go ahead.
Oh, I could see that if it was 27 or 25, but 2683 to 2635, that's it's in the middle. You could be complaining about it being so close. That is a valid complaint, but that is not a lead. That is a momentary slight gain. Just like any dislikes over likes in that smaller range would be a momentary slight gain. They're both neck and neck. It's not a lead.
Well, it might not be a lead, but you got to move the story along a little bit, and they're keeping it within the technology realm. And I think they're, I don't know whether, was it really a lead or was it saying that, you know, it's like Lynn was saying, you know, society is kind of half and half, you know, some like it, some don't. So you have the sympathizers.
Mm, true.
So I don't know if they were commenting on that rather than a
one of the things I thought was interesting in the story is after they posted the videos, they showed a lot of the comments. And this is something that I think a lot of people do when you watch YouTube or watching a funny internet video, even if it's just like on Facebook or some other social platform, you do. I mean, I do. You go and you read the comments, and you know, like sometimes that's the best stuff are the things that people say about. Yeah. And sometimes the comments go, you know, even farther than that. Sometimes they actually show the comments as part of the next meme or whatever, you know. So, and the internet's like that, you know. Everyone has a voice, and everyone is kind of public with that voice. And I like that the person, what's his name, Tetsuo?
Oops, sorry.
The gentleman that wrote
Tetsuya?
This, Tetsuya, definitely knew the internet, and he definitely knows the way that social media works. And I think that, that this being a social media crime novel or crime manga, is interesting. It's something that I've never really seen before. I have seen that social media horror movie that was, you know, I think you're fixing to watch that one too.
Unfriended,
you know, and that's something you're going to see more of. And these are kind of the embryonic social media kind of, shows and books and manga and everything like that, because it's something that's part of our culture now. It's not going away. And it's something that was not part of our culture 20 years ago and barely part of our culture 10 years ago. So
now it's completely taken over almost.
It is. And I mean, in some ways it's fun. It's fun to, I like this story because it goes in and out of it. It isn't so, like you say, it gets a little boring when they're describing all of the technical things about how the crimes are being committed and all that stuff. Like, I didn't really need that information. It wasn't valuable to me. For me, just the cops going to those places and talking about, you know, like their wives cheating on them or where they're going to go watch the fights at what bar after work would have been just as good of a cop part for me. But I could understand that, you know, some people might be really interested in the technical aspects. And I feel like this Tetsuya definitely knew the technical aspects and wanted to showcase his savviness with the internet.
That, and I think it was trying to educate the uninitiative, which in 2012 might have still had a few, but it'd be kind of unlikely. But
yeah,
2014.
By the end of 2000.
It's a little dated now.
By the end of 2015 now, like everybody knows most of this stuff. Yeah. And if we don't, we don't care.
Right.
Everyone that wants to know can.
The artwork in here, if anybody has read Monster, it's kind of similar to that artwork. It's not a traditional it's not a traditional style of manga artwork per se. It's not the little kitty type stuff with the bigger eyes and stuff. It almost looks American, realistic.
It's realistic manga.
Realistic. They still have some aspects of it, but yeah, it's more realistic and more serious in tone. It is a, what's the rating on the back of that, Logan? Does it give a rating?
Probably somewhere. Hold on.
I'm sure it's my shirt. And,
well, I'm apparently having, on a note of the timeline thing, it is supposed to be one of the first Cyber Division things in Japan, right?
Right.
So
it is, yeah.
It makes sense for it to be explaining stuff to the...
I understand why he did it, and I'm not saying he shouldn't have. It's just like Richard said, for me, it was also a little dry, and you know, and I got, and it kind of lost me. I kind of lost my interest a little bit during that, but those parts weren't very long, and I was always like catching my breath. I'm like, ah, whenever it went back to the vigilante, because that to me was the story I was really there for, and that part of the story was really interesting and compelling.
And this is the first volume, so in future volumes, they might flesh out the crime unit better and get away from the technology a little bit.
Yeah, I would have rather, for the crime unit, I would have rather learn more about the people, and you do learn a little bit about them. Especially their opinions of their boss, which is most of the work with the police is these other two gentlemen, these junior detectives, kind of talking about their boss and what she's doing, and a lot of the explanation comes through that, through these other detectives talking about what she's up to.
Did you find anything?
And no, but I'd say either M or R. I'm not sure which one books use.
Oh, M is usually what comics uses. M so for M. Mature.
I have no clue if it ever says it on there, but
I don't know if it would be mature in Japanese standards. It is a little bit violent.
Well, there's at least one sex scene, so.
Yeah, I think it'd be like a 16 and up.
Yeah.
For sure.
Like I say, in Japan, I don't know, because they get away with a lot of crap over there that we don't. But here, it's definitely mature. The sex scene and the thing is violence, it can take on a lot of different roles. You know, violence in something like Johnny Test, where, you know, it's not real violence. It's totally cartoonish. And violence in something like old school, like The Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote, where Wile E. Coyote falls off the cliff to his doom, but he walks on
they're even grappling about that now, though.
But in this book, people die.
Yeah,
and people get their blood on the camera, even though it's not a camera, but it does kind of splash blood on the foreground. You know, it is violent, in the fact that most of the acts that they're being perpetrated by the vigilante are violent acts, not just you know, shaming or stuff like that, but they're actually hurting these people. So, and when you're hurting people, and when you're doing it like in a very controlled, almost torture type. Mm-hmm. Style, that's always going to be, I think, something that you really don't want the kids looking too closely at. Probably you're going to want to be a little careful with this with the younger audiences.
Do you have any other comments, Logan? I thought you were going to say something earlier.
I don't think
okay.
so.
Alrighty.
There was the foot thing that I thought was odd, that they were going multiple people off of this, and the footprint thing was a bit odd because of how they were phrasing it, but maybe it was... Because if they're assuming one person smashing their foot into the shoe, though, how that would make that imprint anyways is a bit odd. They might as well assume that he's wearing a backpack one time, or just...
Oh, you're talking...
Stomping or whatever.
We can't really get into that.
Yeah, I don't really want to talk about exactly... What you're talking about is an old Sherlock Holmes trick. The detectives are using their detective savvy to figure out that something's going on with this vigilante that isn't quite normal. We don't want to go too far into that, because that's a bit of a giveaway towards the end, and we don't want to spoil that for the people that haven't read it yet. But it is, the detectives aren't totally incompetent. They showcase a lot of sleuth skills while they're tracking this vigilante down.
Which is named Paperboy, because he wears the paper mask. We never did mention that, but it's Paperboy.
Yeah, I like the Paperboy, and the fact that how the hell did he get a newspaper to fit that firmly around his face? Like, that has to be the best job of paper mache. I've seen a lot of paper mache masks, even ones they do on movies, and they do not look like that. It's like, literally, it's like he took a glue stick and sheets of the paper and glued it directly to his face.
He just kind of scrunched up the neck a bit.
I don't know.
But I mean, like, in the volume, it shows it from different angles. It's like over his head. But anyway, it's that
like
doesn't matter.
It's like a full mask, because I can't see his hair or anything.
But I'll tell you what, that is one of the best, like, because I've made some paper mache. I don't know anything about music, but I've made some paper mache in my life, and masks specifically.
It isn't paper mache. It's just tape or glue and cut out holes.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do you realize how much that would suck to tape, to glue a newspaper to your face? And then they wouldn't have
I'm talking about gluing they wouldn't have to look sides together to
be put tighter.
You basically you put it on-ish, then you have
somebody else do
or,
it.
Actually, that, you could probably just do that.
I don't know. I guess it's not that important. The point is the mask is really cool. Itself, all I was saying is this is a cool mask, and it doesn't look like it would have been that easy to make. That's all I was saying. Because, like, you've seen carnival masks, right, at Mardi Gras and stuff, and they're, like, huge. Like, it would, like, if this was, Jack from Jack in the Box, mm-hmm. the character they use to be Jack with the big round head, that's the way paper mache masks look. Yeah. If the guy just took a newspaper and wrapped it around his head and glued it there, he wouldn't be able to beat somebody up on camera and get away with it because it would fall off. The point is, like, it's a well-made mask. It was a well thought out thing. It had to have been, and so like that's. I just thought it was a cool mask because
whatever.
It doesn't really matter how he did it, but the point is that it was done in a way that made him rendered him totally unrecognizable. If he would have actually put it on his face and glued it there, you would see like little. Like mm-hmm. Japanese script from the newspaper.
True.
Then you just look for the guy with the newspaper ink on his face.
There you go. True. This is one for larger libraries. I said it probably would be there. The smaller ones, you'll have to look at it and see if you really want it. For a personal collection, it's just your taste. If you like the mysteries, technological mysteries, I guess you would call it. Maybe or well,
yeah. And if you're into the
it's
really,
it's not really
internet.
A mystery though,
because you know both sides.
It is.
Sides,
it is.
But true, but you know both sides.
It's, yeah, you do know both sides, but you don't know everything.
It's not quite the normal mystery.
It's like I said, the whole thing about it is it's a new concept for any type of art to be imitating the internet. You know, and that it's something true. That's foreign. I mean, like we've seen it. Like I said, we talked about one movie. There's another movie. That I think about that they've used the internet quite a bit on and it's starting to become something that
more and more
but really it's just brand new and you don't really see a lot of it. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, I think it's definitely one you'd want to pick up. And if it's something you really don't care about the internet that much, it may not really be for you. But I think that people that are into social media and into that, especially like if you're one of those comment readers, and I know you're out there, comment readers will like, because throughout this volume, the comments are listed. And some of the comments are hilarious. Just like on the real internet, some of them make no sense. Some of them are on their side. Some of them are on their other side. And it's great. It really portrays how the internet works with the wider world really well. I think that it's definitely, and it's somewhat of a political statement about that too, I think, about how popular opinion rules the day. And it isn't necessarily about what is true, but what is liked and what people want to believe. You know what I mean?
True.
But yeah, and we didn't give away the ending. We almost did, but we didn't. And I really think that anyone that's been interested in what we're saying is going to like how this pans out. I'd like to read the next volume and see where they go from here with the Paperboy, because he's still there. He's out there in the world making his menace, so we'll see what he does next.
Doing his prophecy, and Lenny kind of alluded to this earlier. It's called prophecy because he goes into who he's going to attack, why he's going to attack, when it's going to happen as well. And that's what the police are having so much trouble with, is trying to track it down. And
they know when it's going to happen and practically where it's going to happen, and they can never catch up with him. And that's the mystery. That's the fun part, is watching them flounder after this seemingly normal
true
guy that just is everywhere at once. He's amazing. He's like a true supervillain. Love that guy. So yeah, I liked it.
I enjoyed it. It's a darker tone for sure.
Yeah.
So if you like the darker tone mangas or comic books, I think you'd enjoy it, the techno mystery thrillers. So if you're interested, check out Prophecy Volume 1 by Tetsuya Susui by Vertigo Comics. Anyone out there that's interested, they can send us an email talking about the technology and getting word back to us. You can email us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com and we'll read them on the air here. We'd be glad to hear from everybody out there, so if you want to, be sure to do that for us. We're having fun here. We hope everybody's had fun out there. We will see you the next go around.
Bye.
Bye. I can see it all so clear. Please believe me.
I really had something to say, but now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.